is one of the greatest things that you can say about anybody in their funeral, that they were humble. They lived a humble life. Had the privilege of helping to preach Brother Hightower's funeral, Sister Esther's husband, when he died. I'd done the cemetery, and I'd been his pastor for a good while. And I told him, I told them that was there, I said, here lies a humble man. Here lies a humble man. Humility tonight is one of the greatest assets that you and I can have. It's something we gotta have. It's something we've gotta work with. Had a situation one time that didn't know what to do with, and went to Brother Leslie and talked to him about it, and he told me, he said, the only way I found to work with this family is to be humble. And I was standing there thinking, you're wrong. Now this is a young minister to his pastor and an old minister, and I didn't tell him, Joseph, I never told him to his face this. I don't know if he ever knew what I thought, but I thought, you're wrong, Brother Leslie, that's not going to work. Well, I got to fasting and praying, and the Lord got down and sat down in the car with me one evening as I was going home. And he said, what I want you to do is be humble, greatly humble, 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 humble. He backed up my pastor's advice to a T. And when I went into a meeting with these people, I let them walk all over me. I let them pick on me, charge me, challenge me, whatever. They worked me over at times that night. But I stayed humble. And one brother come out of the meeting and he said, I sure am glad I wasn't you tonight. But the bottom line is humility. Let's go to 1 Peter 2 and 18. 1 Peter 2 and 18. This is a scripture I've already used in this meeting once. But let's just go to the 21st verse. Let's get down to 101. For even hereunto were you called, but Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He left us an example. All right, what kind of example did the Lord leave us? As far as an example in his life, let's go to Philippians, the second chapter and the fifth verse. I want to talk about Christ a little bit. Said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, 2 and 5 Philippians, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Now it said there, but made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And he not only humbled himself, but he became obedient to death. And not only just any death, but the most horrible death a man can suffer or a woman at that time was the death of the cross. So here's Christ. He's leaving us example of humility. What was his birth? We were in a Christmas time gathering of young couples back when I first started, got three, and Sister Brenda and Brother Delmer had a bunch of us over there, and we were singing Christmas carols, and the Lord began to talk to me. He said, my birth. He said, my birth was a birth of humility. And you know why it was a birth of humility? Because I wanted to be able to strike at pride. I wanted to be able to deal with pride, because pride is going to damn a lot of souls in a devil's hell. Pride is going to do more damage to a lot of people. So consequently, he said, I had a very humble birth. I had a very humble life. Listen, his birth. He was born in a manger, in a stable, among the animals. It wasn't in a mansion. It wasn't in a big fancy hospital. It wasn't anything elaborate or fancy. But he was born of the most humble birth, the smallest, the littlest, so to speak, that a man could be born. He was born that way. And not only that, but he stayed humble all the way through to his death. He was humble. His childhood, he was subject to his parents as a teenager. his life. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Let's look there. Oh, tonight, Jesus left us an example of humility. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He wants you and I to follow his example. When it gets down where the rubber meets the road, folks, we're going to have to get down where Christ was. And that's in deep humility. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 brings out the point. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was yet rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. If he had not have gotten down there and got where he needed to be, he would not be able to give us what we have today. He done it through humility from A to Z. All right, again. Now then, let's start in on our side of it. Well, now I want to go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, 38. His death. Now, he had the most horrible death that a man can suffer. It was anguish. It was humiliating. Listen, folks, he was up there and they unrobed him. Can you imagine being put in front of a body of people basically with nothing on? He was there with nails up in his hands, in his feet. He was there with the pain and the agony and people mocking him and deriding him and so forth. And it said here in the 27:30 in Matthew, and then on top of that, there were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. The commentators bring out the point. These men wasn't only thieves, but they were murderers too. Because one commentator said that they didn't crucify men over just thievery. So it had to be a more serious thing. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is our God, our Savior, our Christ. And there he was, hanging between two men, so that he would have looked like the more guilty of the three of them. To imagine the king having to suffer that, but he was willing to do it. To leave you and I an example and to make you and I a plan that we can have what we've got tonight. All right, back to 1 Peter 2 and 21. He said they're leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. And then in Philippians there, he said again, let this mind be in you. Lord, help you and I to have a humble mind. Let us, Lord, have a mind that you want us to have. His mind, not our mind. Like I said that day, I looked at Brother Leslie, I loved him. I reached out to him. He taught me, worked with me. He was very, very good to me down through my life. He was wonderful to me. But the bottom line was, in that particular case, I thought I was right and he was wrong. But the Lord come along and backed him up, said, no, he's right and you're wrong. I want you to get out there in total, complete humility. Let him walk on you, child. Let him do what needs to be. I want to be able to deal with this situation. I want to be able to get done what needs to be done. So you're going to have to get on down there. There's going to be time, folks, we're going to have to get on down. We're going to have to get where the Lord would get. We're going to have to do what the Lord would do. If you and I are going to have the victory and get the victory, there's going to be people that walks all over us sometimes. There's going to be people that will charge us with things that we're not even guilty of and call us things and treat us this way and that way. But the bottom line is, if you and I will get down there where we ought to be, the Word will tell us, his grace will back us up as we go along. Oh, tonight, Lord, let this mind be in us tonight. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Also in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to have the mind of Christ of humility tonight. All right, let's go to Isaiah 57. This is a scripture that I love. 57 and 15 is the only place that I know of in the Bible that uses the word eternity. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Tonight we're having a revival meeting. Humility consist in lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. Now, contrite means broken, crushed, beaten, small, trodden down. Now then, he said here, for thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. A revival, part of it is to revive us, to challenge us, to stir us, to get our attention, to help us to see where we're at in the Lord and so forth. It's to help us to move higher, dig deeper, and be more like Christ would have us to be. And so tonight, how deep do we want to get? How high do we want to be as far, not in our mind exalted, but how close to God do we want to get? Let me put it that way. How closer to God do we want to get in this meeting and the following day? Listen, folks, we've had some wonderful meetings in the last several months. Been in nine of them. This is my 10th meeting since the middle of April. We have had some fantastic preaching on all angles. There has been messages that have been brought out that have been challenging and stirring. It's moving people. It's having results. I'm getting reports back. I'm seeing what happened. And listen, tonight, you and I need to continue the flame and the fire and keep it going, praise God. Keep it going. Don't let it go down. We want to get closer to God. We want to be more like Jesus. Oh, tonight, he said, I'm the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. We're not dealing with anybody. We're dealing with God. We're dealing with Jesus Christ and God. Tonight, he said, I dwell there. It's my eternity. At the end of every man's life is God. When we enter eternity, we're entered to his place then. We can push him off here. We can run from him. We can put him down. We can do all we want to do here. But when we step out there, we're dealing with him, because that's his area then. There ain't going to be no running. There's not going to be any hiding. We're going to be dealing face to face with God. The high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Holy, 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 says the Lord. Holy, holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also. When we get to the place where we need to be, Christ is right there. He's there, but he's here. He comes down and works with humility. He leads and guides us towards humility. Like I said, he dealt with me and let me know, get on down there, son. Get on down there. This is what I want you to do. I was able, by his help, to get on down there and to do what he wanted me to do. I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also, that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. With him also, how close do we want him to us? How close do we want to be with him? To revive. Do you need reviving tonight? Do you need blessings and stirrings and different things to help you? He wants to revive. He wants to challenge. He wants to stir you and I. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Now he's willing to come down and do that with a humble spirit. The humble individual. Lord, help us to get down where we need to be tonight. Help us to get down where we need to be. All right, let's go to Micah, the sixth chapter. Micah, the sixth chapter, and the third verse we'll start reading. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted. And Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee. Yes. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Now how shall I come before the Lord? How shall I bow myself before God? How shall I approach the God of heaven? This is a holy God. This is a righteous, holy, godly individual. Well, let's get over here. Another place that I love is Isaiah. I think it is the 6th chapter. Let's see here. Yeah, 6th chapter. 6th chapter and 1. Let's see. Let's start at 2. Above it stood the cherubims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the cherubims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongues from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips. Touch thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Now he said, For mine eyes have seen the King. Tonight, if we need to see anybody, we need to see the King. We need to see him like he is. We need to get close enough where we can behold the holiness of God. The world don't even know what holiness is today. They don't know what being saved from real sin is. They don't know the life of holiness and godliness that the Bible wants you and I to live. They don't know anything about humility. The teacher, they prompt them that you can do it. You can do it. Mindset, you can do all things yourself. Listen, folks, we can't do nothing outside of God. And we need to get out and see Jesus. We need to get out and see God. I've seen him. I've seen the King in his glory. Listen tonight. Lord, help us to see Jesus as he is tonight. Not just anybody, but get our eyes on the King. There's too many people watching sports events. There's too many people looking at doctors and lawyers for the help. Listen, if the world would look at Jesus and see what he can do, how he can help them, and how he can bless them and work with them, the victory he can give them. Listen, they see something far better than all the rest of it. Ain't no doctor, no lawyer, nobody can help a man like God can. God's done forgot more about how to help people than lawyers and doctors and psychiatrists will ever know. Tonight, he has all power in heaven and earth. And he said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we might attain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Praise God. He wants to help us. Mine eyes have seen the King. Tonight, have we seen the King, the Lord of hosts? Have we looked at him? Have we said, Lord, I'm undone. Lord, I need more of you. Lord, I want to be more humble. You've got a humility about you that challenged me and stirred me. And I want to get close enough where I can be just right down there where you want me to be. When you get into problems, that's what you need to do. Get on down there. And look at him. See what he done. He done it for you and I. He done it that he could help us. Give us power and authority. He give us grace. And give us everything we need tonight. There's people out there. Like I said, they don't have any idea what this is all about. They're out there doing their thing. Sin you must. Sin you can't help it. Ain't live above sin. You can't do this and you can't do that. I'm going to tell you, if this old country boy in Oklahoma can do it, anybody can do it. Down in there 46 years. At the end of this month, I'll be saved. 46 years. Most of my life has been spent by the grace of God and the mercy of God in doing the little thing I can do to help people in the work of the Lord. Mine eyes have seen the King. Oh, we need to look at him tonight, folks. We need to see exactly what he is. We need to see how low he went.
We need to see how high he is. We need to see how human, how holy, how godly and righteous he is. We need to look at that throne of mercy, that throne of power, that throne of healing, that throne of forgiveness, that throne of salvation and sanctification. We need to see everything that's there, whereby we can look at the gifts that God has, and we can say, I want that, praise God. I see the King tonight, and I want more of him, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, we can't have enough of Jesus in 2017. Whoo!
You pray, I'll preach. All right. So he said here, wherefore shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn? It just gets closer and closer. Shall I give my firstborn? How many of you want to do that? For the transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul. I wouldn't want to do that because God's got a better way. He's got a better way tonight. All those rivers of oil and all those cattle and rams and sheep and all that's nothing compared to the three things that he said he has showed thee. Oh man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Tonight, the Lord requires things of you and I. Amen. He wants us to do these things. This is something that's required of God. And he said here he wants you to do justly and to love mercy, and he wants you to walk humbly. Now this walking humbly with God is not every 5 years or every 6 years. It's every day. Be clothed with humility. We're going to get into that a little bit. But to walk humbly with God in all your trials and your tribulations, in all your hard places, the places that you go, I don't know if I can do it. And the Lord says, walk humbly with me and I'll help you. Walk the walk that I walk. Talk the talk that I talk. Do the things that I did, and I'll help you, child. I'm right there with you. I'm the high and the holy one, but I dwell with him also that is of a humble and a contrite spirit. Listen, folks, tonight, I don't care how high he is, we can have him to help us. When we need it, he's there. You're his child, but he wants you to get on down there, praise God, to the place where he wants you to be. And then, praise God, when we get there, we can have the power and the glory because he's going to bless us because he walked that same walk. And he left that same example to you and I as he went through life's journey. It's required of you and I to walk humbly with the God of heaven. All right, Proverbs 15 and 33, to tie with that, Proverbs 15 and 33, it said, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The Lord blesses those that are humble. He pushes off those that are of pride. So if we're going to have any honor, we're going to have any extra blessings and so forth, it's going to be humility first and then honor second. So if we want that, let us get out there and get it. Because the Lord wants to give it to us. But he wants us to get down there. Before honor is humility. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 5 and 5. 1 Peter 5 and 5. Likewise, younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed. Now here it said walk. Here it says be clothed with. One, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace unto the humble. You younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. All of you be subject one to another. All of you leave a pattern of humility and being subject, working with one another. There gets to be contention sometimes in congregations and problems and trouble, and there's one way. And I found in dealing and working, say with two people or two couples or several people where there's a division, so to speak, I found the only way to get this thing solved, there's got to be humility all the way around. It won't work any other way, folks. I've gone away from these things with not total complete victory because I didn't have total complete humility. And one side's holding this and one side's holding that. I thought if you just get on down there, folks, we can get there. But they wouldn't do it. They won't do it. They never done it. They never have. Matter of fact, some of them dead in eternity now of the situation I'm talking with that I dealt with a number of years ago. And they just didn't get on down there. Listen, we can solve problems and solve it quickly through humility. Amen. There was a situation one time. Several ministers met together. There was one brother saying so forth, and he was wanting this and wanting that, and so I don't want to get too detailed so you will not know who I'm talking about. But anyway, he walked out of the room, and one minister said, I've got the answer to that. I saw the whole thing. Just get on down there in humility, something like that. Just get down there in humility. In other words, if that brother would have come in with a different attitude, it would have touched the ministers. If you want to touch one another, touch them in humility. If you want to touch your wife, brethren, sometimes as husbands, it's got I am a doctor attitude. I was in a home cleaning one time, and this home belonged to a doctor and his wife, and she was a little short thing. He was about my height, a little taller. She was a little shorter, about like this. She was sweet as sugar. But he was one of the most arrogant men, I guess, in the doctor field you could ever meet. And he come in, he had green scrubs on, and he come in there, and my partner and I was there working. And I said, me and my big mouth, I said, you look like a doctor. He goes, I am a doctor, just like that. Woo! We couldn't get out of that house fast enough to keep from busting up right in his face. I am a doctor. And my partner, I don't know if they told me before that, but they told me sometime that even the other doctors around him, he was a third generation orthopedic surgeon, I believe it was, or second generation. No, I think his grandfather, his father, and him, and then he had one or two coming on behind him. And they'd been orthopedic surgeon for years. But this man was so egotistical, so lifted up in his mind. But I'm going to tell you sometime. Now, husbands, I love you. But I've seen husbands that have this kind of I am attitude. I'm going to tell you. Brother Gordon said one time, he kind of had that attitude. He learned real quick, the best thing to do is get out on his knees right by Sister Sibylla and then pray it out and humble their hearts together and they can work that thing out. I'm going to tell you tonight, there's a way to get husbands in problems. Children, listen, fathers, you're sometimes going to have to humble your heart and ask forgiveness of your own children. I'm not talking about sin. You might speak out of line. You might give judgment on one that was not even guilty because somebody said something over here and you're getting on to this one. Maybe that's the one guilty and you misjudged. In South Carolina, the former pastor, Brother O'Neill, lived there 6 years. I've been going down there since 1978. And out of my living there 6 years and working with those people, he only had one thing that anybody ever said against him. And you know what that was? He had 12 children. And they said they thought he made a mistake with one of his children one time. I thought, Lord, have mercy. And it wasn't that serious a situation. You know, but he made a mistake. I thought, how many children you got? How many children you got? How many children you got? Listen, give the man a break here. But that's the only thing wrong I ever heard that they accused him of. I thought that's pretty good. Oh, tonight, we're going to have to get on down there. Husbands with wives, wives with husbands. Oh, now, preacher, be careful on us, wives. It said, be subject unto your husband. I know that. But I'm going to tell you, husbands, you need to get down there and lead the house with humility. where they can say, my daddy and my husband's humble. Where they can look at you on your casket and say, he lived a life of humility. He lived it before me. I appreciate the life my daddy lived or my mama lived. I appreciate the life. Listen, folks, we preach our own funerals. Amen? Amen. I mean, preachers can get up there and say a lot of good things, but it's already been preached before you get there. And if you don't preach what they lived, they're going to people be looking a little cross-eyed at you. Oh, tonight, humility. Be clothed with humility. Likewise, younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. Then it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I had a home that I cleaned many years ago, and it had a total sunken tub. At the top edge, Brother Rick, was right on top of the floor. So to get in to clean that little jewel, if it was dirty, I either had to climb down in it, or I had to lay out prostrate to be able to get to the bottom of it and clean it. And I was laying prostrate on the floor one morning, and the Lord started talking to me. He said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He had me right where he wanted me. Humble yourselves. Are you humbling yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God? This is not just any hand. This is God's mighty hand. The hand that can crush us, or the hand that can exalt us. The hand that can do whatever he wants with you and I, or the hand that can bless us, encourage us, lift us, heal us, whatever we need. Just get on down there, child. Get out under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Philippians 2 and 1. Philippians 2 and 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, of any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, of any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, Lord help me here, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Woo. Can we do that? Now it says here in the definition, humility consists in lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. But it also, in some of the commentators, brings out the point in some of these scriptures that we have ourselves below everybody else. They're better than we are. In other words, you're not way up here, you're down here. And with that kind of mindset, there won't be any problems. So he says here, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better. Now then, where are we at with that tonight? Are we esteeming others better than ourselves? Are we up here? I am who I am. I am a doctor attitude. Oh, tonight, the Lord wants you and I to esteem others better than ourselves. Let's go to Romans 12 and 16. Romans 12 and 16. Again, kind of the same line of thought. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condemn of sin of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. In other words, what it is saying here, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estates, be friends with the humble. Sometimes we want to buddy up with the powerful and the authority, but they're saying right there, be friends with the humble. That little humble teacher, that little humble singer, that little humble minister, nestle up next to them. Just get right up close to them. Be like them. Watch them. Duplicate them, so to speak. You see that life. Brother
Warner, in his day, there was a sister that wanted help from Brother Warner. And so she talked to his wife, I believe it was. He was out on a gospel run or gospel work. And she said, well, he'll be in at certain time. Said, at a certain time, you come over and we will talk to you. Okay. So he got home and his wife gave him a little bit of time, if I remember the story right. But the wife, the sister that wanted the help, she come there and they let him in and they let her in. And she sat there and she was trying to pour her heart out to Brother Warner. And she looked over at him and he was doing this. He couldn't stay away. And she was pouring her heart out and he couldn't help her. He was too worn out. He was too weary. So finally, she got up and she eased herself out of the house. Went out down the sidewalk, or went out there and through the front gate. And down the street from her was a little sister that God had been preparing with all the answers that sister needed. So when the sister come through that, I just see it in my mind, a little picket fence here, and she walks out through the gate, and she turns right, she's going down the sidewalk, and her whole world is crushed. The great wonder in her mind can't help her. And there's a little sister down there, and she says, sister, she knew her, said, come here. So she come over there, and she went in. They got to talking, and she got the one that had all the problems to open up, and she poured her heart out to that little one. God had done give her every answer, one right after another. I'm going to take it. Don't take big minds to answer questions all the time. It takes God. And humility. And that little old sister gave this sister all she had. Brother Warner didn't help her. It was the little one. Listen, condescend. Get down there and be friends with the little people, so to speak. Help them and they help you. Work together like a group of ants, so to speak. Ants are not big eyes and little you. They all work in a team and they do a lot of work together and they pull a lot of load for a little critter that ain't very big. They haul a lot of stuff and you and I can do it too if we'll all pull together in humility. Be not wise in your own conceits. All right, 12:3 of Romans. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But to think soberly, remembering where it all come from. If any man lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God, who does what? Who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Go to God. Think soberly where the faith come from. Think soberly of where it all started. It started because he gave you a call and told you you was lost and undone and you was going to a devil's hell and you're sitting there and you begin to tremble and shake, so to speak. Listen, folks, I don't care how long we've been saved. I don't care how big-minded you might think you are. The best place to get is think soberly and get out there because he's the one that started it. And he's the one that Paul said, I am what I am. By what? The grace of God. By his power, by his love, by his mercy, we're where we're at. It's not us, it's him. Think soberly. Get on down there. Let this mindset be in you. Jesus Christ had a humble mind. He had a humble life. Listen, folks, he didn't own anything. It said foxes have holes and birds have nests. The Son of Man don't have any place to lay his head. He didn't own anything. But I'm going to tell you, he was the richest man of the whole world and the whole universe, and he still is. And he's got it because he got on down there and God gave it all to him. Praise God. He's got power and authority. And we can have power too, but to think soberly. Oh, don't think more highly than you ought to think. Just get on down there in your mindset.
We're just a little bitty, bitty, bitty saint of God. There was a man, young minister, if I remember right, was being introduced to Brother Warner for the first time. And he said something about, this is the great Warner, something like that. He gave him a pretty high. Brother Warner said, you want to know what I am? He said, you pick up a grain of sand, and he said, I'm a speck on the grain of sand. Now, how small is that, folks? That's pretty little, isn't it? Do we have a mindset like that? Or do we think we're bigger than a piece of sand, so to speak? That'd still be pretty small. But you see my point? Lord, help us to get down there and to not think more highly than we ought to think. Sometimes we get to thinking we can do something. Sometimes, well, I've got all this. I've learned the Bible. I've got the doctrine. And oh, I can do all of this. Listen, folks, we can't do nothing without God. And we're going to do it through humility or we won't do it at all. So Lord, help us to get on down there. Matthew 18 and 1. Matthew 18 and 1. The same time came disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called the little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. When he got down, when the disciples come to him and they're thinking, oh, who is the greatest in all of this? And Jesus used the most humble example that he could use, a little child. You be like them. They don't have any big eyes and little U's, do they? They love one another. They get into problems, they work them out. And they go back and they hug one another and love one another and go on and be friends. I know people today that's got problems between them and they don't hardly want to work together because of problems. Oh, today, help us to get on down there, Lord. All right, let's wrap it up. Let's go to Exodus. Exodus, the 10th chapter and the first verse. Exodus 10 and 1. The Lord said to Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's sons what things I have wrought in Egypt, And my signs which I've done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh and said to him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locust into thy coast. Now he said there, bringing it down, he said, how long are you going to refuse to humble thyself before me? Now, is there anything that we've got that we're refusing to humble on? Just how long? I know you're a king. I know you got power. I know this, but I know God too. And God said, how long are you going to refuse to humble? He turned the rivers into blood. He brought the locusts in. He done all these great mighty miracles. And still, he got harder and harder. The Lord hardened his heart to an extent. And then when he got down, he just destroyed him. How long will you refuse to humble? I want to help you. I want to bless you. But how long are you going to refuse? Lord, help us tonight. Is anybody in here need to humble their hearts? Need to work on a situation? Need to confess things or whatever it might be? Sometimes we see the young people go to the altar, and I appreciate that. But I got news for you. There's some way older than them that need to be at that altar. They some got things in their lives they've been carrying for years. And they need to get out there and get that help. And they're not getting it. How long will you refuse to humble? Well, if I go down there, what are they going to think? What does God think? That's the one I'm interested in. I ain't worried about the rest of it. He's him I'm worried about. He's the one that's going to say, come, you blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. Or he's going to say to those on the left hand, depart ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So we need to be worried about him, not everybody else. Proverbs 16, 18 and 19. Proverbs 16, 18 and 19. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. There's been a lot of people that pride has destroyed. Been around a little while, seen some things, and I've watched some of these things play out down through the years. Pride, lack of humility, different things, people doing things just opposite to what they ought to do. And it'll catch us after a while. Oh, but I can get away with it. At the end of every man's life is God. You may fool every minister. You may fool your wife. You may fool your children. You may have it well hid. And it said there, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Another place there, he that hideth. See, how he that hideth his sin. No. What? He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. The Lord said, how long are you going to refuse to humble? Is there anyone in here that needs to humble tonight? That needs to get on down there. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Worked with a situation one time, a few years back, and about, I think it was four of us, maybe five of us met with this person. And we were being lovingly firm, but at the same time, we wanted them to do what they needed to do. But he wouldn't humble his heart. And then later, this man and I have been, well, we were very good friends back when we were younger. Back when we were teenagers and early 20s. And he and I was talking. And he had left the sentence and gone off and had a little bit of work. I don't know how, it wasn't very big, what I understand. But from the time he left, we had some younger ministers started that I had worked with and watched. And he began to lift his people up and he began to slam these young ministers. I said, wait a minute. You don't even know. You don't know what I know. You don't know what I've seen, what I've worked with, the anointing and the power and what God is doing with them. I said, you're not going to do them that way. He lifted himself way high. Now that I understand, I guess there's been another division with him and whoever. I don't know much about that. But the bottom line was, listen, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Oh, there's been people that took off with pride, and they've got down to where there ain't hardly anything left now. Will you refuse to humble? He asked Pharaoh. Lord, help us tonight. Humility is the key to victory. Humility is the key to heaven. How bad do we want victory and how bad do we want heaven? Pray for me. I appreciate your prayers tonight. Thank you for your time and attention.